Hello, everybody. I'm Jacob De Toni, and this is the FDI podcast. Today, I'm here with Ed Ratcliffe, Head of Research and Advisory at the Asia House in London, to discuss about Indonesia and its FDI outlook. Welcome, Ed.
Thank you very much.
President Joko Widodo, widely known as Jokowi, has just secured another five-year term in April 17 elections. So, Ed, what does this mean for investors?
Yeah, well, look, I think Jokowi would have been, let's say, the international investors' favorite out of the two presidential, the people running for the presidential campaign. I think people have seen Jokowi's first term, where he certainly attempted to make reform towards a better environment for FDI, with, you know, some successes. But overall, I think they, you know, international investors would see in Jokowi a slightly more rational, more predictable, perhaps more international president than Prabowo. I think also that, you know, you mentioned obviously this is Jokowi's second term. So I would see from Jokowi him, you know, sort of gloves off moment in terms of him really sort of embracing the reforms that need to happen in Indonesia. I think it's been talked about by other people as sort of a golden moment for Indonesia now. And this is perhaps the moment for Indonesia to reach its potential.
What do you expect to be on his priority list in terms of reforms?
Sure. Yeah, so look, I think looking at Jokowi's first term, as I mentioned, you know, there were some successes. Things around the online single submission system, which is kind of sounds like a boring business related thing,
but actually
it does really matter in terms of foreign investors coming in terms of all the licenses and certificates that that are needed to do business in Indonesia. That system has recently had an upgrade as well, crucially, so it is sort of working a bit better than it was. There were some complaints around how it's working. You know, also Jokowi, I mean, you mentioned, I think, also the negative list, which was in, you know, 2016. So part of that in terms of just opening the country up a little bit to greater FDI. In terms of what he really needs to address, I think there's a few key things. So the labour market, education and upskilling the country overall. Indonesia has very good demographics and, you know, there is a potential in Indonesia for a demographic dividend. But if these people are not being educated and skilled appropriately to take on the sort of jobs that Indonesia needs to develop in order to develop its GDP growth, then it's that dividend is going to be lost. Another area would be healthcare, which I think Jokowi has mentioned a couple of times. And overall, I think, you know, there is potentially quite a lot of room for further reform in terms of openness to FDI. So maybe they will be revisiting the negative list in the second term.
It's in a way, it's no secret that foreign investors see Indonesia as a great opportunity. Mm-hmm. At the same time, Indonesia remain a heavily restricted economy to foreign investment. I was going through the latest numbers of the OECD, and Indonesia in 2018 is considered amongst the OECD countries the most restricted to foreign investment for its regulatory framework. Sure. So do you believe there is a sort of a mismatch between expectations and the real capacity of Indonesia to absorb and maybe also the real willingness of Indonesia to absorb FDI?
Yeah. Well, look, I think like I said, Jokowi, it's gloves off. So I think he will definitely attempt this, but Indonesian leaders face sort of significant vested interest within the system. The way that Indonesian politics is done, you have to sort of create these, Jokowi's got a coalition with five parties, which is fairly usual for the Indonesian system. So there's lots of politics to be done. There's going to be lots of horse trading in terms of who gets various ministry portfolios over the next few months before the government comes in October. So you've got that kind of whole political thing to deal with. There's, you know, the tycoons in Indonesia, also very important and may resist reform in areas where they have significant financial interests. It's not going to be easy. I think in terms of whether the Jokowi has the capacity to do it, he does have a larger majority, I think, now in the House of Representatives, and he has the potential to really do things. I think he showed in his first term you know, there were things around like the reform of fuel subsidies, which he did quite early in his first term,
right,
where he showed that he was able to do this and take fairly significant political decisions.
Actually, you mentioned the negative list, and this is part of the overall restrictions to foreign investment in the country. Do you expect the foreign list to be further liberalized in a way?
It was sort of beginning of 2016, I think, when it was last looked at in great detail. I would expect it to be considered, and I think there will probably be significant lobbying from countries and firms to have this moved along. Yeah.
Actually, I had a chance to ask the same question to the Minister of National Development Planning, Bambam Brojonegoro.
Yeah.
And this is what he told me about this. So I'm curious to see your reaction to this.
I'm not maybe buying the idea of so-called liberalizing the FDI, because the problem with FDI in Indonesia is not about whether it's liberal or not. It's because of ourselves sometimes constraining too much the FDI coming to Indonesia, not from the philosophical way, but more from procedural way. That's why improving investment climate, improving the ranking of ease of doing business, building a lot of infrastructure will be higher priority than just, changing the list of the sector of investment.
So what Mr. Minister Brojonegoro seems to be suggesting is that it's more important, at least for him, but he is a prominent member of the cabinet of President Jokowi, it's more important for him to improve the overall business and investment climate rather than just changing or opening up the negative list.
I think all governments have a toolbox available to them in terms of the sort of things that they can use in order to increase foreign investment. If you look at infrastructure, Indonesia, I think, has huge plans for infrastructure development. I think between now and 2024, they want to spend, more than $400 billion on infrastructure. They're planning, I think, to fund this like 40% by the government, 25% through state-owned enterprises. And I think there are issues around reliance on state-owned enterprises in terms of funding this, and the rest will be from going to the private sector. I think that was also the plan during the first Jokowi term. I don't think that their expectations about private sector investment in the infrastructure sector were met. In terms of whether one thing is better than another, it really depends on what sector you're in. If you're an investor looking to go into Indonesia and you're not allowed to go into it, or you have to go in a joint venture or something like this, then that's not going to be good for you. So you'll be looking for changes there. But obviously, in terms of the overall investment environment, infrastructure is a massive, massive issue with the country of Indonesia's size and shape, 17,000 islands. Upskilling is also really important. I think there was something really quite interesting that Sri Mulyani, the finance minister, said, in sort of response to the perhaps slightly breathless way that people talk about Indonesia. Oh, look, so 300 million people and, such great resources and all this sort of stuff. But she, quite correctly focused on the fact that Indonesia needs to increase things like productivity.
Right.
And that actually just being a large country with forests and mineral wealth and people is not enough really to grow per capita GDP, which I think Jokowi has also talked about.
So do you believe that foreign investment in this particular field, this is where foreign investment can be beneficial to the overall development of the Indonesian economy, increasing the productivity leap in a way that the country is facing?
In infrastructure. For sure. I think it's absolutely crucial. And I think they've identified that, and which is why that they talk very often about infrastructure, and they have massive plans for infrastructure. But look, there's a lot of issues around it. I talked about the financing issues. Previously, I think Indonesia had looked to China to help finance some of this. That is extremely politically sensitive. Globally, but in Indonesia for other reasons as well. So, they should work out their strategy in terms of how they're going to fund this and how they're going to develop it.
Where else do you need the scope and room for investment across the Indonesian economy?
As I mentioned, education, upskilling, I think is really important. So I think there's a potentially a role for foreign investors to play there. I know less about the sector, but Jokowi has mentioned healthcare and healthcare insurance reform. You know, in order to grow that space as well, and obviously that has huge implications for poverty reduction and human development, which you know then has growth dividends as well, but in its own way.
The very final question: a brief comment on this magnificent, in a way, project to move the capital away from Jakarta.
Yeah.
A $33 billion investment. They don't know the location yet, but apparently there is a preference for a location outside Jaffa. It's not an official, it is in the agenda, the assessment of the project, but it's not an official project yet. Do you believe it will actually move forward?
In terms of like whether it should, I guess anyone that has spent time in Indonesia, spending 2 hours in a taxi going in one direction, only to realize that you then have to turn around in order to go the right direction to get to the airport, right, will probably sympathize with the overall plans to build the sort of another administrative capital. So I think in terms of the logistical elements, it kind of makes sense. But you look at, I guess, around the world, other places where they've built capitals outside of the economic capital, Myanmar being a prime example, it doesn't always pay off, and these things can take a very, very long time to A, build, and then B, build that sort of community and ecosystem that is necessary for it to really take off. Plus, I mean, $33 billion is a lot of money.
It is. Ed Ratcliffe, Head of Research and Advisory at the Asia House in London, where can our listeners follow your work, your research, your writings about Indonesia and Southeast Asia?
Absolutely. So yeah, we put a lot of stuff up on our website, asiahouse.org. We also have a Twitter feed. We do a lot of conferences. So we do a lot of events at Asia House, some of which are available. And we also do conferences in the region. We are doing something in Singapore in November this year, and something else in Hong Kong as well.
So everybody, please follow the Asia House here in London. And Ed Ratcliffe, thank you very much for being with us. Thanks everybody for listening. You can follow our coverage of Southeast Asia and Indonesia on our website, fdiintelligence.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. In unscripted conversations with investment professionals, you'll hear real stories about successes and lessons learned, informed by decades of investment experience. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. New episodes are available monthly. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.